Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 12th chapter. My dear friends in Christ, Paul's admonition today condemns us all. I know that's not what we really want to take from the text today, but it holds true nonetheless. The reality is, if we are all the one body of Christ, then we utterly and richly fail our other members day to day. We have failed them in the past, and we fail them even now. See, the beauty of the body of Christ is this. We all are individually members of the one body. We are of the one body. Doesn't matter if we're black or white, rich or poor, slave or free, tall or short, fat or skinny, old or young. Doesn't matter at all. Christ, in all of his wisdom and love, has taken each of us and put us in the very place we should be, that we might do the work necessary for the body. Think about it. God has put you exactly where you are, that you might fulfill his purpose. Now, of course, we can take this the wrong way and start ascribing to God the things that are evil, that he has made us in evil ways. And people do this all the time. The way that we hear this the most today are people who identify with the sin of homosexuality. They'll claim that God has made them that way, therefore their sin must be all right. But God is not the author of evil. He does not put it in mankind's hearts to do evil. Mankind has placed evil in our own hearts. It has passed on from our first parents to your grandparents, to your parents, to you, and to your children. More than that, even given the choice to do good or evil, we would choose evil. We shape ourselves in the form of the devils that we might conquer the likeness of God. God doesn't make us evil. We do this. So when we start to think of the things that reside even within us, even as we see them in society today, things like homosexuality or racism or abuse or addiction, we must realize that God did not make us this way. But these come as consequences to sin. Sin begets sin begets sin. And so our inward parts seek after what it knows. Yet despite our sin, God has had mercy on us. And even uses this sin, not that he delights in the sin itself, but that the word of God would come to us and convict us of our unrighteousness. For Christ died only for sinners. This word of God is good. And it comes to us to break us down, to show us how far we've fallen from the grace of God, that the gospel would then be preached, and that we would find in it the mercy of God and the forgiveness of sins won for us by the death of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. When we are lifted by the gospel, when we're freed from our captivity to sin and its master, the devil, then we are brought ever more fully to the body of Christ. And it's not that we're not in the body in those moments or that we haven't been there, but that we might begin to see it for what it truly is. My kids and I discovered the live-action version of Disney's Beauty and the Beast this weekend. And there are, as always, issues with the movie. However, it's quite enjoyable. The moral of the whole tale is that underneath the scary, warty, rough exterior of the beast, there is a prince who will be transformed by the one who loves him. And underneath the beauty of Gaston, the war hero, the beautiful, strong, desirable man, there is a beast who can never love anyone but himself. The beautiful, evil man dies for his own desires. But what the beast will be is not revealed until the end, when the love he has received strips away the grossness of his sinful nature, the nature that sought pleasure for pleasure's sake, who was vain, who was an absolute monster. But by love, the beast is transformed, seeing that all his sin prepared him to reject it all for the sake of love. It is not so different for the church. When we look at the church and all of her members, we see the warts. We see the rough exterior. We see the arguing. We see the infighting. We see the neglect that we've had towards those around us. We've seen the lack of love. We see the weak. We see the forgotten. We see that she is not perfect, but is instead fallen from grace. And yet the Lord of life has chosen to love her, to love us. And though we are part of a diseased body, and diseased because we ourselves have made it so, by the love of Christ we are transformed. We are brought out of our sin, we are changed, we are like Him. His love strips away all the sin we bring to the table. It strips away our pleasure-seeking desires. It strips away our vanity. The monster is gone, but we are left there standing naked and bare and unadorned. Yet in the very same love that removes our sin from us, the love of God comes again to us and clothes us with His own righteousness. Our sin is taken away, but we need more. We need righteous works, and our Lord gives them to us. They are His works, that we might be His bride, the church, the body of Christ. He leaves not a one of us naked, clothing us in the waters of baptism, covering us in the robes of His righteousness. And He does this for us together. It's why we need each other. It's why the eye cannot reject the ear or the leg, the hand. We are all clothed in the one righteousness that is found in Jesus Christ. It is His righteousness. There's one. And we must all be found together to receive it. It's why we must take care of the ones among us who are weaker. Not sacrificing them, but caring for them. It's why we must bestow great honor upon those who seem irredeemable. It is why we take care of, especially, those who might seem to bring dishonor to the house of God. I can honestly say I never knew how weak parts of my body were until I had a kid. And then seemingly their heads like bricks, you realize how fragile your eye socket is. Or how fragile the bridge of your nose is, or how easily your ears can get boxed and you check them all night long to make sure that you don't have cauliflower ear. You never know how modestly we are to keep our bodies until someone makes it overtly clear that they're checking you out, or that they've seen too much of you. And then it's all that you can do to pull that sweater a little tighter to you, closer to you, further down your backside. So it is with the body of Christ. You never know how much someone is needed until they're absent. You never know how much of an influence someone has until they are drugged down and bring many with them. You never know how much someone is doing until they're gone. You never know how well someone is thought of until they fall into sin. That is why we must take care of those who are around us, to seek after their good. Perhaps this admonition is good that we might seek out those who've strayed from our family. This week, especially if you've been around for a while, why don't you call that person you haven't seen here in a couple of weeks, a couple months, a couple years. Take it upon yourself to get up in their business and bring them back to the church, not for the sake of filling pews, but for their sake, that they might hear and remember the word of the Lord. Oh, I know. We're good Lutherans. We leave people alone. Stop it. Get up in their business. Get them back to hearing the word of God, that they would repent of their sin and find the forgiveness of Christ. If they're in a good church home that rightly preaches the word of God and administers the sacraments, that's amazing. Leave them be. It's amazing how the Lord has worked to keep them faithful and how they're part of the one body of Christ still with us. But if they're not, or if they're in a junky church that teaches them what they want to hear, that teaches them to seek after their own desires, that fills them with sweet, sugary nothingness that will lead them to hell itself, then admonish them with the word of God and remind them that they're important and that you love them and that you want to spend eternity with them. What do you have to lose? If you're cooking at home and your finger gets sliced off while you're cutting the veggies, you're just going to sit there and go, oh, well, I guess it wasn't really a part of my body after all. Or, well, it must have had a good reason for leaving. Of course not. You're going to put that baby on ice. You're going to get to the hospital. You're going to get some tender, loving care. And you're going to get them to sew it back on. So it is with the body of Christ. This is where we are condemned under the law of God for not caring for our brothers and sisters as we should. Yet there is still time for us to seek our errant and missing siblings. And if they reject the word of God, it's not because you were not well spoken or because you messed up somehow. It's because they choose to reject the Lord. People don't not come to the church because we don't have rockin' music or hip lights or smoke machines. They come because they don't believe in God. They choose to give in to their sin, to hold fast to whatever identity it is that the devil has concocted for them. That's what sin does. It removes us from our Lord and it delivers us to Satan. But don't fear. The Lord has given you His identity, His name. He's with you. He has set you free from your fear and your sin. You cannot fail the Lord. You can only be the instrument of peace and His power. How He uses those is up to Him. We are all necessary in the body of Christ, because He's the one who placed us here. It's true, it's our own fault if we reject His word and wander away, but it is our fault also for not seeking to restore those who've rejected Him. We can do good for our neighbors by bringing Christ to them. It may be that they'll reject you. So also was Christ rejected. It may be that they're angry with you. So were others toward Christ. It may be that they fight you or show you violence. So was Christ also subject to these. Yet the year of our Lord's favor, His salvation, is here. It is one for them and it is one for you. He has brought it to you and He has set you free with it, now and forever. The truth is, and I don't know that we really want to admit to it, maybe you're the weaker member. Maybe you're the one who needs the most care. I'll readily admit that my heart is prone to wander from God, and if it were not for His word and His sacraments, coupled even then with the wisdom and love shown to me by amazing children of God, perhaps I would wander. I don't know. Maybe it's the same for you. I suspect it could be. So it is that God has placed each and every person you see around you here to take care of you. There is not one person here who would not love you with the love of God, because they have been shown great love. This is how we live our lives as the body of Christ, taking care of those around us, for the day may come when we must be given care as well. And this is a wonderful and freeing thing. For if you have received care and love from this place, then you have been served by the body of Christ, who sees you as a member of that same body. You have been called by the love of God to live righteously in His name, and the shackles of your sin have been cast off you, and you have been made beautiful. You are a member of His body, the church, and you are important and loved, not just by us, but most importantly, the Lord of life, who has redeemed you and called you by name into Himself to be with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.